Let's face it, there's a lot of fakeness out in the world today. Fake success, fake people, fake personalities. And that's why it's more important than ever to be genuine and authentic with your personal brand. And that's exactly what my guest on today's episode helps her clients do, specifically on LinkedIn. Now, if you still think LinkedIn is just an app for getting hired and recruiting, take note. LinkedIn has become the essential business app to show the world who you are, what you offer, and why you're different. So if you're like me and you struggle to do things like that consistently well, then this episode is for you. Britta Blansky shares best practices and strategies to help you be more authentic and connect with your ideal audience in a more personal way so you can build a better network that leads to new opportunities for you. Britta is a Minnesotan living in Bologna, Italy. Since 2012, she runs Britta June & Company, a LinkedIn consulting business where she helps businesses leverage the power of LinkedIn as part of their employer brand, employee advocacy, and marketing strategy. She strongly believes the personal is professional and helps her clients find their unique voice and confidently share it online to help build a strong network and authentic brand. Enjoy the episode. Hello again, and welcome back to the Confidence Covered by Humility podcast. And this is the podcast where we explore what it means to lead our companies, our teams, and even our homes with humble confidence. I'm your host, James, and it brings me a lot of joy to introduce you to today's guest, Britta Blansky. Britta, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Hi, James. Thank you so much. It's a real joy to be here. So I know you're podcast has been a blessing in my life, and I know our conversations are always a blessing to other people as they have given me that feedback. So it's a real honor to be here today.
Well, tell our listeners about you and what you do.
Yeah, thank you. So I am a content strategist, and in particular, I specialize with creating content on LinkedIn as part of an employee advocacy program or to build your personal brand or to reflect your employer brand. So there's many different angles that you can come at it, which in essence, I am just a huge advocate and supporter of everyone having a LinkedIn profile that actually works and is alive and moves and can create opportunity for everyone, whether that's the employee or the employer in the organization.
What is LinkedIn known for, and what do people potentially misunderstand it to be?
That's a great question. And it's one I've actually been thinking about quite a bit recently because it also has a cultural aspect to it, not just on the organizational level, but, you know, depending on where you're located in the world, what does it mean for you as an employee within a company within a certain country? How do they approach utilizing the platform? So, I mean, the basis of LinkedIn is that it is a professional networking platform, and LinkedIn has stated itself that its goal is to improve economic opportunity for its users. So that being said, it's really important to keep in mind that it is a connection-based platform and not an interest-based platform. And what that means is where you spend your time. So if you like open up Instagram or TikTok, if you even just hover over video for like a split second more, the algorithm picks that up and then it will generate that content out for you in the future whenever you open up the app. Whereas on LinkedIn, it's based on who you are connected with, who you're speaking with, and who you're engaging with, which means it's not, you know, okay, I'm going to open this up and I can scroll through it mindlessly. But you're going to get a lot of benefit when you lean into having conversations, connecting with people, interacting, and engaging. So that means it's not meant to be the big influencer platform and space where you're going to get, you know, wildly visible in front of all these people. But within small networks and small communities, you can make a really positive impact because it is connection relationship based.
Yeah, I think that's just huge to know. I think maybe I'm not doing well enough on the whole connection side of it because I do comment on people, but I don't know that I do that well or consistently well. I should say it that way.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I was listening to a podcast yesterday and a really big LinkedIn influencer name was the guest, and they were sharing very honestly that when they started, they spent 5 hours a day on the platform.
Wow.
Yeah, commenting. And it just puts it into perspective. You know, it's so easy to fall down the trap of like, all these people are really successful. They have like, you know, 150 likes, you know, why, what am I doing? And it's like, okay, the people that you're watching might not admit how much time they actually invest in the platform. And that same person also just shared a post advertising a tool that will categorize the connections that you want to be commenting on and house them and store them. So then you can open it up and go directly. Like, I haven't looked at it yet, but what I understand is when you open up that page, you will see their most recent posts of all those connections in like your own individualized new feed off of LinkedIn.
Okay.
So it's just, and you have to pay for it. So, I mean, there's all these tools that people are utilizing, but what's interesting about that is the scope is engagement. The scope is connection, not likes, not just solely likes and not just solely follow for follow, but actually commenting with people.
So, okay. So let's go into this a little bit deeper, because I find that I live in Iowa, middle of the country, United States. And I find that there's a lot of people that I have in personal connections in my network that are aware of LinkedIn. Maybe they've got a profile, but they don't spend any time on it unless they're trying to hire, or I'll see businesses that are promoting a new widget or a service or things like that. And they're not really doing the connection piece. The engagement, that's such an interesting word. Like, there's so many different tangents you could go down when you talk about engagement. So what's the big benefit? What are you helping your clients do to cause engagement? And what does that engagement, what's the result of that for your client?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good question. So first of all, it's really important to have an optimized profile. And I know that's kind of a generic term or phrase, expression, action that you can do. But it does make a difference, because even if you were to not publish content, let's say you weren't at that point where you feel ready to do that, and let's say you weren't really interacting and commenting and leaving reactions on other people's content, if you have a profile that is interesting, is filled with keywords, not just like SEO keywords that are blanketed mm-hmm. and boring, but I mean like action, descriptive, colorful, creative vocabulary that really depicts and paints a picture for me. And I know where you're located. I know what you do. I can click on something and learn more about you, whether that's a website, a blog, an article, and maybe another social media app. There's so many different ways you can engage one step further. Engage, I mean, in the sense of like discover something more. Mm-hmm. You can catch and capture someone's interest. And that happens to me all the time, especially on a local level, right? So maybe there's people locally. So like I said, culturally, there's a huge fear where I'm based in Italy around LinkedIn. Essentially, if you use LinkedIn, people immediately assume that you are looking for a new job. And so sure. like people yeah. are extremely afraid to utilize it. And they just get a lot of fear from their managers. So for someone to have an updated profile is really valuable for me, because I have met multiple people in person for real coffee chat networking at a cafe here, because they had an interesting profile, even if they weren't publishing a lot of content. So that was, I would say, is like the very first thing. And that's what I help people do, is create that optimized profile.
Yeah.
The next step would be, leaving comments and finding the people that you do want to be interacting with. And that is so much easier if the person on the other end also has that profile that's updated and relevant. And if they're sharing some sort of unique content that's not solely reposted. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you can repost something, which is helpful, but it's always great if you can add a little bit of context as to why you're sharing it. It's so disappointing when you go to someone's profile and like the last 10 posts are all reposts and there's nothing written. Right. And you're like, what do I even say to this? I don't, the whole goal is to start conversation. So then that would be the third aspect then, is creating content that can help open up doorways and gateways to have quality conversation based on what they put out. And my huge mantra is that the personal is professional. So if you're willing to be a little vulnerable, you share something that's a little bit more personal, it's so much easier to engage in an authentic, meaningful conversation instead of just being, pitched a sales message and you're like, okay, you're just trying to sell to me.
I do want to go further into authenticity. What does authenticity mean?
Yeah, being authentic. I know we throw that word around a lot, and it is being true to yourself, but I would say I'm going to go on the wild end here and say it's releasing your inhibitions, if I can quote Natasha Bedingfield, if that's a reference for anyone. Because oftentimes when we do start sharing, even in a meeting, even in person, we hold back. We're like triple checking ourselves oftentimes because we want to make sure that we say exactly the right thing and we don't mess it up. So especially when it comes to social media, it's really easy to use templates and you might really like hold back on the reins of what you type and reduce it down to really, you want to be, you're being super synthetic without realizing that that's what you're doing. Even if you use a lot, like quantity wise, if you're actually writing a lot of words, you're keeping it super boxed in to what feels comfortable. And when you're being authentic, it's kind of like that feeling of when you get home and kick off your shoes and sit down on the couch and just relax. And you're like, okay, what would I say now? Am I double checking myself? Am I triple checking myself? So it's just leaning in and saying, okay, how do I really honestly feel about something? And what would be my natural instinct to respond to that? And it's leaning into that. And it's going to feel super scary because you're not within the boxed cultural norms of what's always going to be acceptable or expected that someone would say.
You've worked with me. And one of my issues or one of my struggles, I'll just say it is this. I want to come across as polished. I want to come across as professional. But it doesn't necessarily come across as authentic, I think, at times. And you used a word that I was like, that's just such a great word. You said synthetic. And so when I think about synthetic, I think there are times when I'm making a post that's sort of informational. Maybe it's got great content. However, it doesn't resonate with the recipient.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this goes back to, you know, my mantra of the personal is professional. So just because something is personable doesn't take away from the value of what you're conveying. And it actually makes it more relatable. So and to backtrack one step here, the very first thing is practice. So obviously the more you do it, the more comfortable you get. Of course, the first time you share anything, you're like tight. You know, like you feel emotionally tight, you know, you're like, oh, it's hard to write. You're like, oh, you get stuck. And then you're like, well, I'm just going to hit publish anyway. But then like you do it again and again, and you just feel like you relax and you loosen up, and that will naturally come out anyway in what you write. So of course, practice and be okay with what you put out at first, not even feeling great about it. That's just a really natural, normal process to go through. And then the second thing is to have someone in mind. So I know you have children and you have grandchildren. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how old your oldest grandchild is, but if you sat them down and you wanted to tell them something and you were to write them a letter, what would you write to them? Mm-hmm. So if you were going to still talk about the importance of making meetings meaningful, and worthwhile, not that you would be speaking to your 10-year-old about that.
Sure.
But the heart of what you're saying is the same, right? It's making your time is valuable. And you want to make sure that it's worthwhile for you and it's worthwhile for the person who's on the other side of the table. So if you were imagining your grandson or your son, or if it was like a really good friend that you were giving advice to, imagine that person and then write it to them. And what you're saying it has the exact same value. But now you're not imagining that you're standing in front of, you know, a table where there's a whole bunch of directors seated around it. Instead, you're in an intimate setting speaking one-to-one, and you then just bring out the more personal, relational vocabulary conversation. It's a little bit softer. And then you're bringing in your own personal experience. And that's what makes it unique to you. And that's what makes it easier to interact and engage with.
I am very unwilling to go LinkedIn live, you know, or to like just hold my phone up and talk candidly into the phone if I can't at least have the option to delete it before it goes out into the world, right? So how important is it to just master skills like that? And what advice do you have for people to break free of that discomfort or that fear?
Just do it.
Just do it. It's that simple.
Yeah. I mean, I don't use LinkedIn Live for various other reasons. But, you know, even the other day I was driving into town I had an appointment and I had some extra time and I had an idea for a LinkedIn post. So I just set up my phone in my car and I recorded it real quick. Even though it was like off the cuff, I still recorded it, I think, three times. So it's like the third go was the one that I actually published.
Sure.
But also because I don't have a script, right? So the first time you do, like you hit record and you're like, oh, no, wait, actually, I wanted to say this one other thing, right? Or, oh, I didn't like that ending. Like that's super normal. But also I do a lot of my marketing on Instagram. That's where I started. When I started my own business back in 2019, I was all on Instagram and I've been showing up on Instagram stories almost like every day for 5 years. And that's where the practice comes is like, you literally have to hold up the phone and hit record and you can't, you know, if you're going to sit and re-record everything every single time you put something out, like you, it's just not a good use of your time. But again, it's just putting in those reps. The more you do it, the more comfortable you get. And it's just, you know, it's fine. Also keeping in mind that people relate to the mistakes. They don't relate to the perfection. So when the people that I follow as well, when I see that they're showing up a little bit more unperfected, I'm like, oh, okay, good. Like they're just a normal person like me. And now all of a sudden I'm a little bit more interested because I feel like I can connect to you.
Yeah. That's good. That's good. I was just going to say that it feels like there's a trend, whether it's with YouTube Shorts or Instagram. And honestly, I consume a lot of YouTube, but the only social media platform I'm on is LinkedIn. So I'm not familiar with what's going on TikTok and Insta and all these other things. But I do know that there's a trend of getting away from, say, a background like I'm currently using, with a good camera, you know, great microphone, and it's just literally holding your camera and taking a walk in your neighborhood and talking to your person as if they're right there. It's all these unscripted things. It's the, hey, I'm just pulling, you know, into the client meeting today. And here's something I took, I want to take in, or here's something I'm taking out as I leave there. That was an idea you gave me, which I thought was really good. Is that what you're seeing? Is that there is a trend more to like the short form, authentic, you know, 45, 60, 90 second thing? Is that where we're at?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially when it comes to video. Unfortunately, our attention span is very short. We're very lazy. So if you don't catch us in the first couple minutes, you know, we're off, you know, you don't have us, but it is 90 seconds max. That's also kind of the sweet spot on LinkedIn, is to keep it around 60 to 90 seconds. And it is, it's, I mean, if you could still have something written out. I think, but people appreciate much more when it feels like it's coming from that authentic place. Cause as soon as it's scripted, you tighten up, right? You're like, okay, you're more focused on saying what you need to say instead of conveying the message. When if you know what you want to say, you show up more relaxed manner and you're not focused on the words, but you're focused on the meaning and the message.
And so we're in this vein here of talking about, I think, vulnerability / authenticity. The two go hand in hand, right? Mm-hmm. One of the things that you were just sharing with me is that when you said it this way, right before we hit record today, is when you open up the communication and you're willing to share, others benefit from it. And I just would like you to maybe expound on that a little bit further.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what comes to mind is last year I was asked to speak at an employer branding event in Belgrade stage, almost kind of like a little TEDx type experience. So I show up, I went and spoke at this event and I showed up, and the thing that struck me left really the greatest impression from the experience, apart from my own, you know, professional growth and getting out of my comfort zone and all of that, which was a huge thing in itself. But what I took away from those 2 days in Belgrade was the quality of conversations that I had, because people were vulnerable. So like I had literally just met these brand new people who are in a complete, most of these people are from Eastern Europe. So we, you know, totally different background, totally different culture, even from Italy to Serbia. And the conversations immediately got to things that were very personal. We were talking about struggles. We were talking about relationships. We were talking about marriage. We were talking about the Russia-Ukraine crisis. It was just like, I did not expect, right? I thought everything would be a little bit like surface level, superficial. Like, let's just talk about employer branding, or like, let's just talk about, you know, we went out to this incredible dinner, like how great the food is. No, the meal was like talking about how we have kids who are 8 or 10 years old and we're working too much. And we're really like, what are we going to do? Like, how are we spending our time? You know, like it got right to the heart of the issue immediately. And so when I say like everyone benefits, like if you're the first person to open up and say something that maybe you're struggling with or say something that's on your mind that you've been thinking about, not necessarily in a negative, it doesn't have to be like super heavy and serious, but it's like, yeah, you know, we're working parents. Like I struggle trying to find, you know, the babysitter, or I struggle, you know, I just feel really guilty. I'm kind of dealing with this guilt. Immediately that opens up an opportunity to get to know that person better, also share something that it's really common and relatable. And then you feel encouraged because you're hearing a similar experience, whether or not they don't even have to give you advice, but just hearing how someone else and their own different perspective is approaching a very similar issue that you are also thinking about that sure. occupies your mind. You walk away having gained something, and that I'm sure the other person feels that as well. So that's why I say it's mutually beneficial. Because you have an opportunity to discover a different perspective, hear someone else's experience, and then see how you relate to that.
You shared a story with me earlier before we hit record. And I was like, maybe we should just save that one. And so I would like to go there with you for a moment. You're an American, obviously, but you have lived in Italy for how many years now?
This is coming up on 13.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what was when you originally moved from the United States to Italy, you started out, I believe, teaching English. Is that correct?
Yeah. Okay. So there's so much I could say about that experience. So yes, when I moved here and back in 2010, one of my very first jobs was teaching in a language school, and then I moved into a private high school and middle school. So I taught from kindergarten all the way through seniors. But for quite a long time, I was focused on 9th and 10th graders, and I taught geography in English to give them a full immersion experience. So it was a very challenging role because I had students in my class, some who had maybe an English-speaking parent in the household. And so they were essentially bilingual, you know, mother tongue English. I had students who had been taking English and had been going to England and doing all sorts of programs after school to improve. And so they had a very high level. And then students who hadn't done anything. So essentially they couldn't understand a single word that came out of my mouth. So I was like, how do I teach this subject, right? When you have people all across the board. So it was a real struggle. And I had to collaborate with a lot of different teachers. Also, just the way that the school system worked here, very different from the U.S. You could only have one test a day, and you could only have three tests a week. So essentially, you know, I come in as like the American, and I'm like, all right, pop quiz, guys. And then I get all these calls from the parents and the teachers being like, what are you doing? You're not allowed to do a pop quiz. Like, they have to prepare, you know. So just a huge learning growth from that. But
sure.
There was a lot of collaboration that happened with the other teachers. And I always, apart from the actual challenge of teaching the subject itself, it was also a challenge, you know, being an American, having an American education as my background, and that's what I expect. And also having a role where I was the teacher, but I was also considered the native like English teacher assistant. And mm-hmm. so I wasn't like really a teacher. So having this very ambiguous title made my role even more difficult in trying to figure out how I fit in to the work environment within the school. So sometimes they'd have meetings where were for the teachers, and I'm like, well, am I a teacher or am I the assistant? Am I like, you know, what do I need to be at this? And they say, yes, you need to be at it. So it's kind of always like, I don't even really know where I fit in. And, you know, eventually after 8 years, I had this like light bulb moment when they had all the parents of the incoming freshman class in this introductory meeting. You know, this is the school year, and all the teachers for that class were there. Because again, different from the United States, the students don't change classrooms, the teachers do. So even throughout all of high school, you have your one class with the exact same students.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And so the teachers rotate. So that's why you have the one class, right? The incoming freshman class for that section. So their teachers were there. And, you know, the head teacher for that year, for that class, was introducing everyone. And she didn't remember my name. She didn't know my name. And we had been working together for 8 years. And so I was just like, we've sat around, you know, tables together, having meetings about students for 8 years with the same subject that's always kind of been a little bit prickly, right? Because it's like, it's different. There's a different approach. And I was like, you don't. I was like, how do you not know my name? And it was just this moment of like, how have I brought myself to this own place, you know, in this own workplace after so many years where I felt like I didn't have a voice, but not because they didn't allow me to, but I had chosen not to because I had always considered myself to be different and I wasn't willing and I didn't open up to really allow and create that space to have those conversations where maybe she would be like, okay, yes, I recognize that this is Britta. Sure, I don't need to be like, I don't know your name.
So you went home and you shared that with your husband. And what was his response?
Yeah. He was like, well, that's just because you don't speak up enough. You know, he was like, you need to make yourself heard. And, you know, it's one of those things, and I was sharing this before, and in retrospect, it's so obvious to me now, what my mistakes were. But when I was there, I was constantly waiting, for someone to be like, okay, Britta, why don't you share now? Or, okay, do you have something to add? Or I was always waiting for the other person to come to me. Mm-hmm. And it's like, of course, now it's just like, of course, why was I doing that? Right. It's like, you have to be willing, which is, it's super scary. It's super uncomfortable. But again, it's like, you have to be vulnerable and be willing to speak up, willing to make space for yourself, not, you know, physically, but just vocally at the table, like literally sitting at the desks, you know, pushed together to have a meeting, and say, hey, I'm here. I have something to say. But if you continually choose to just let that pass over and not be willing to kind of stir the pot and not be willing to cut someone off and not be willing to make them pause or wait for you, because also in my own, you know, my own character and personality, I'm usually just like, okay, it's fine. Like, let, you know, people pleaser, introvert, whatever happens, happens. I'm just going to sit back and wait and be quiet. And those were kind of the consequences of not being willing to be vulnerable and break out of that comfort zone and say, okay, no, actually I have something to say.
Well, and I just think about what you do and what our conversation has been around, and it's about being vulnerable and the need to put yourself out there and the need to be authentic, and yes, it's going to be uncomfortable, et cetera. But you're not just telling that because you read it in textbooks or listened to somebody else's podcast or whatever. It's you lived it and you learned what that was like. You had the wisdom, you applied some growth to it. I think that's super cool.
Yeah. Well, the real blessing I think that came out of that was, so I met the teacher who replaced me. And she was actually really struggling. I think about it, it was such a gift of grace to actually hear someone who was struggling with a lot of the same things that I had struggled when I was in that position. And I was able to coach her. And for about a year, I met with her, I want to say like twice a month. And I knew everyone that she was talking about. And so I could say, I know exactly what you're feeling. Let me help you. This is what you should say. This is who you should talk to. This is how you can manage the situation. And it's ended up being a much, much positive experience for her. And so it was like a confirmation for me of like, okay, I have someone who's very similar in character. She's coming to me saying, I don't know what to do. And it's like, okay, now that I was gifted that experience and I am able to share with you, if I had been there, what I would do differently, and to see someone take that and be successful with it.
Yeah, that's great. It's so great because you had a decision to make at that point. You could have kind of stayed in, you know, your own little self there and not shared that, but no, you felt that desire, that call, being led to pour into that person and invest and help them see the things that you struggled with and to invest in them. That's awesome.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, it's so easy, I think, just as, you know, we're human and we're, you know, coming from a place of pride, it would be so easy to say, you know, I don't want them to succeed because I didn't, you know, I felt like I wasn't recognized. But in order to be like, no, I want to see you succeed is huge. You know, it kind of pushes you to say like, okay, you are helping this person who's filling your shoes, and you want them to do well, because that's the ultimate goal, right? Is that everyone can perform at their best.
Britta, as we kind of wind down our time together here today, I'm sure that there are people who are listening that are interested in you. You've spoke words that have, you know, ignited something inside their brain, their heart, and they want to know more about you. What are the services that you provide, and what's the best way for people to get a hold of you?
Yeah, thanks for asking. So, of course, contact me on LinkedIn. That's the best place. Britta Blansky. And I help you really discover what your story is and then the best way to put it out there, and particularly on LinkedIn. So if you are feeling a nudge to start sharing, or if you want your team to share, but it just feels really uncomfortable and everything feels like it's either too contrite or templated or not authentic, and you're trying to approach it in a very transparent, honest way, I can help you do that.
And I will say this, you are excellent at that. You spend a lot of time asking questions and listening. And I know this because you've done it for me and with me, and that's been phenomenal. And so I just want to thank you so much for investing some time to come in and talk about what you do. And I just love your story and your journey. I think every time that we can see somebody else carve out, like, this is the way to be vulnerable, this is the way to engage, this is the way to build those relationships. And it seems like there's more ways to communicate than there has been at any point in human history. And yet we just kind of fail at it over and over and over, right? So anyway, thank you so much for being here. And I'll have links for your LinkedIn profile, your website, and anything else that you want in the show notes. Any closing thoughts before we sign off here?
I just want to encourage everyone to practice vulnerability. It starts with one tiny baby step, and then it's from there you build up that vulnerability muscle, and you put in the reps, and it becomes easier. And by doing so, you can use those online tools as a huge benefit and a support system that maybe we haven't experienced so far. So it's worth the risk, and it's worth the discomfort.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for having me. It's been a real pleasure.
Yeah, you're welcome. Well said. Well, I want to thank you all for coming along on this journey again. Would you just give this podcast a like or share? Let somebody else know, and introduce Britta to somebody that you think she could help too. So thank you all for being here, and we'll catch you on the next episode.